prepped up for tonight's show on Q105. So I think my dad's taking a nap right now. It's 5:42. Hi, it's Eric Chase. It is Monday, November 19th. My dad's taking a nap right now because we painted all day. Got up at like 6:45, got some coffee, loaded some boxes into the car, went to Home Depot to get a vacuum because mine died yesterday. And I have like an old upright vacuum with a bag. And I've had it because I think my mom got it for me in like 2001 or 2002, and it just finally died. It wasn't sucking anything except for the attachment. And then I turn it over, I turn it back on, and then there's a rubber thing that's hanging out of it. And I'm like, okay, there you go. There's its guts. So we got a vacuum today at Home Depot. We went over, we finished up closing with the condo because they needed my dad's signature because I needed my daddy to co-sign for me. So dad took care of that. And then around, I guess, 10 o'clock, my dad and our neighbor, Connor. He hung out for one podcast in the summertime. He didn't talk or anything. And we painted. I wish I would have gotten the specific names of the colors from Sherwin-Williams, but it's like it's a dark blue, and then the other one in the can. Now, these are the two rooms upstairs. In the can, it looks, it's got an orange tint to it. Orange, whatever. But thankfully, it painted on and dried red. Do you think less of me because I use an edger? Taping takes forever. My dad had never seen an edger before, and I whipped that thing out, and he was, his mind was blown by it. But we'd been doing, we painted till 4 o'clock this afternoon, ran home, till about 3:30, ran home, let the dogs out, my dad's taking a nap, I put some boxes in the car, and went back, dropped the boxes off, and now, doing show stuff, got all the prep ready to hit things at 7, but I figured I'd give you an update on that. You want to help? For anyone that wants to do any kind of media, podcast, radio, advertising, what I've learned is, and it can be expensive with money to do this with advertising, but it's probably the right play, and it can be time-consuming to do this in other ways, but you need to put your stuff everywhere that you can. For instance, I wanted to do the majority of this podcast about who I'm rooting for Michigan and Ohio State this week and why. I've talked about it, or I'll get to it a little bit tonight on the show. I put something to this effect on the Eric D and the Fam Facebook page, and I also put it on the personal Facebook page this morning. You got to put your message many places. So if you're seeing things repeatedly from me, I apologize. There's times I get that from people and I'm like, this is too much. So I will understand if you mute me. I like to think I find a pretty good balance and get the message out there, get the word out there without being too much. Although it's stunning when, I meet people like my new Sherwin-Williams buddy, Megan. She had no idea that we come to our podcasts and I'm on the air every night. Other times they get text messages from people who are like, hey, it's good. So put your message out in as many places as are feasible for you, both with time and with money. I know it's expensive to do advertising, but radio, a little bit of social media, a little bit of traditional. So it's expensive, but it pays off in the end. This is our contemporary world that we live in. All right, so who am I rooting for Ohio State, Michigan? I might have shared this in small spurts in the past, but... And again, I'm doing this here, so it lives in podcast form. Michigan goes into this Saturday's game as a favorite, I believe, for the first time in many years, especially in Columbus. And Michigan is having a phenomenal year. They might have the best loss of anybody in college football because they lost to Notre Dame week one. Pretty close game, but Notre Dame won. Notre Dame is, the number three team in the country. They just waxed Syracuse, which was expected to be a little bit closer, but Notre Dame went and they played at Yankee Stadium, which is close to Syracuse, but there's a lot of Notre Dame people, alumni and whatnot, and fans in New York City, so they were essentially, they had the home crowd, but still, home state of New York, and they just beat the snot out of a pretty good Syracuse team. Hey, we get to talk sports. So I remember when I moved to Detroit, back to Detroit, to work at a sports radio station, which was the most distressing year of my professional life. And I didn't do anything when I came home except followed sports each. And it was grating. I didn't manage it well. And that's what forced me back onto medication with no excuses in December of 2012. I said, I don't care what side effects come with it. I got to stay on it. But it was a painful year professionally. So I come back there and friends or people that I got to work with, they're like, you need to pick a side. I'm like, what are you talking about? Michigan State. Well, I don't want to pick a side. I don't, you know, part of my thing is I'm not really a fan. Like, I root for certain teams whose stories I might like or players who have an appealing story, or maybe it's more superficial than that. Maybe I just like the jerseys or something. I don't know. Something draws me to a team. I don't have those tribal roots anymore. I watch a lot of Philly things because that's where a lot of my roots are. It's what I talked to my dad about. We watched the Eagles game yesterday. So when they told me, when they were adamant, you got to pick a side. Well, I don't want to pick a side. In that, I always kind of felt pulled to Michigan State because they were always the underdog. And I won't say little brother. I hate the pettiness of it. I hate the pettiness of college sports, which will bring me to why I lean a certain way in this Saturday's matchup. But I was so glad. Like, one of the things I cut out of my life, I don't know, 2-3 years ago when I stopped doing sports radio was college football on Saturdays. I figured one day of football following football is enough. And for the same reason that it's hard to ever, you know, pick a true champion in college football, there's too many teams. The schedules are unequal and people vote on things. I wish we would go back to the computer systems. Like, let the computers handle things. Like, let the computers tell me things because, you know, granted, people put numbers into computers and spit things out, but hell, let's let the computers fix that too. The computers can tell us who the best team is. So I picked Michigan State because they always felt like more of an underdog, and underdogs are always like seemingly good stories. And I remember there was one game I was watching, it must have been 2001, the back of the end zone game Michigan State won. I think that's the game that like flipped me on to college sports because I didn't follow college football in a national way when I was growing up, because where I grew up in Philadelphia, there wasn't much college football. Penn State was the local team. The local team, Temple, was awful. So you didn't follow it that much. But I got out here and got the college football bug. And then I moved down to Orlando, which was like right smack in the middle of Florida. Florida State, Miami. And I lived in Orlando. And at the time, UCF had gotten their football program up and running. So I got more into college football, and then I came back up this way. So my following college football like went 2001, 2002 to 2015 or 16. And now I'll flip it on, and I check scores, and I like to hear the discussion, but I don't watch it from college game day till the late games in Oregon and Washington are over at 2 o'clock Sunday morning. No way. So the pettiness again. I'll lean a little towards Michigan State, and they've had a nice run with the exception of the last couple of years or so. But as for this week, lately, the last 3 or 4 years when I've been asked, who do you root for here, Michigan or Ohio State? It's kind of like when I got asked in 2012, got to pick a side. I guess I lean a little Ohio State, and it's not even like rooting. Like I said, I more root against Michigan than I do root for Ohio State. Now, I'm taking all the sleazy stuff out of this. That's another reason I stopped following college sports. One, I hate the debate and discussion about paying the players because that would be totally inequitable. There's a couple of things. Like, allow them to make money off themselves, allow them to have jobs, and give them health care, like, until they're 30 or 40, because they're literally smashing their brains, and we know the damage that comes from playing football now. Give them health care for a set amount of time through their 20s and maybe their 30s, or until they find, you know, full-time employment for more than 3 years, something like that. So those are the things I would like, because paying players is difficult. Like, you would pay Shea Patterson, you would pay Haskins, but what about the kids that nobody goes to watch? You know, there's only a handful of players in the sport in general who are worth a ton of money. The programs and the teams themselves are monoliths. And just a couple of, like, I don't know if you would want the third wide receiver's autograph from Ohio State or their nickel cornerback. It might be nice, but what do you pay that guy compared to their star cornerback? So that's why I think it's hard to pay them. But give them opportunities to make money. So, but I hate getting involved in that. Beyond that, the sleaziness with all the Urban Meyer stuff and what's his face, who went sideways again last week on Twitter, like all that sleazy stuff. And then, you know, it's in college basketball as well to get these kids to come play here, knowing they're only going to stay for a year. And then you find out, you know, they were getting paid and the FBI has been involved in Rick Pitino's name and he was running a shady program. Like all that stuff makes my stomach kind of turn. And I know it's because players would like to get paid, but still, it's even sleazier than that. I mean, look, 2 weeks ago, that the horrific tragedy at Maryland in the spring summer when that poor kid died, and maybe they could have saved his life if somebody would have acted a little sooner. They do the investigation all fall long, and the coach gets to keep his job. What? Like, I know he wasn't directly responsible for it, but unfortunately, when you are the head of something, you have to take the fall. When something happens on your watch, you're the fall guy. You have to take responsibility for it. The buck stops with you. But the Board of Regents or whatever at Maryland? Let him keep his job. And then this was the time social media didn't overreact. Like, whoa, he should lose his job. A couple of days later, he did lose his job. Like, the fact that people who are overseeing a university, which costs a lot of money, allowed that guy to keep his job? Disgraceful and disgusting. By the way, quick side note. Social media, pitchforks, and torches. Did you see the Chipotle thing? Over the weekend, or last week, a couple of young black kids went into Chipotle, someplace in St. Paul. And by the way, hang on, I'll tell you who I root against momentarily, and we'll wrap this up. Maybe my dad will be done his nap. Chipotle, St. Paul, Minnesota, a couple of young black kids go in there filming stuff, and the woman, the manager at Chipotle, won't give them their food until they pay. I didn't know that anywhere gives you your food until you pay, like fast casual places like that or fast food, but whatever. And she said something about like, no, let me see a pay stub. And the kids, and I didn't watch the video in its entirety, but I got the gist of it. The kids were like, oh, you know, how do you get away with this? You're being racist, blah, blah, blah. Chipotle fires the manager. You know, this is not the way our employees are supposed to treat customers, blah, blah, blah. So Twitter sleuths get on the case. And I feel like Twitter gets more things wrong Well, I don't know. I don't know what the scoreboard is, but I do have a problem when Twitter overreacts, social media overreacts, and it makes a wrong call, or someone who made a mistake that they could easily reconcile has their life ruined. That bothers me. Chipotle fucked up. They fired this girl. The Twitter sleuths go check out this dude from a couple of years ago, and he's got old tweets up about, like, dining and dashing all the time, like specific places, Applebee's, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Apparently, there were some anti-Semitic remarks. So, not the nicest dude, at least as far as, like, social media is concerned. And he has been a dine and dash culprit before. So, in a way, this manager did the right thing. She recognized him in some way and said, fuck no, I'm not giving you your food, thinking you're just going to run and bolt. Last I read yesterday was that Chipotle was reconsidering giving her job back. But they still had more investigating to do. I know this is the world that we live in, but that doesn't mean that I necessarily have to like it. In the case of what happened at Maryland, social media got it right. In many other instances, social media often gets it wrong and will hang someone and destroy who they are because of a mistake. Maybe, and in some cases, I think it's okay to go, you know, ignorance should be excused. You don't know what you don't know. And I'm not talking about like out and out hatred and anything that ends in ism, but so most of the Michigan fans that I encounter and interact with and hear and just whose stuff comes my way, to me, Michigan fans come off as entitled. Like they should be winning 10, 11 games in a 12-game season, not counting bowls or playoffs or, you know, championship games. Like they should be winning 10, 11 games every single year and competing for the national title. And it's nice to want that. But this is not 1970s. This is not 1980s or 90s. This is not Bo Schembechler. This is not Elvis Gerback or Desmond Howard. Some teams, Michigan has stumbled a bit, and some teams who weren't traditional powers have become that. Now, Alabama has been a legendary winning university for a long, long time, but Clemson hasn't. They're the other one that jumps out. Some of the other schools, every few years it's Oklahoma or another team from the Big 12, or it's another team from the SEC besides, in this case, it's been Georgia recently. So some of those teams that were infrequent elite teams are now that. Or, you know, it's Clemson, which is now a peer of Alabama and, in my opinion, Ohio State. And a lot of this comes down to expectations. You expect Michigan to win 10, 11 games, play New Year's Day, be in the playoff now every year. And that's simply not the case. And Rich Rod was, in my opinion, too early for his time at Michigan. And maybe he wasn't a very great head coach, but his philosophies are now everywhere. I always contend that I think he might have taken, and if I'm wrong here, feel free to correct me. I think he took that Michigan job expecting, or at least hoping, to get Terrell Pryor from Western Pennsylvania. And when he didn't get that player, he had to make some adjustments to the type of offense he was going to run and fit players who didn't fit his scheme into that offense. And obviously, it didn't work. You know, the disaster of Appalachian State and more. So, of course, Terrell Pryor winds up at Ohio State and is one of the great quarterbacks in that program in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years. So that sent Michigan sideways. But from that Rich Rod period on and the end of the Lloyd Carr era, they were no longer a 10-11 win team. They were a 9-10 win team right there. So they got bumped back behind Oklahoma, Georgia, Clemson, Alabama. That's the top tier. Michigan fell to the second or maybe the third tier. So like instead of top three, top five, it was more top 10, top 15. And they stumbled real hard with Brady Hoke. And they're having a great season. Now Harbaugh is giving you what you'd hoped as soon as he set foot in that program, which was unrealistic for you to expect. But again, expectations and hope are often great evils. So I have a problem that a lot of Michigan fans come off as entitled. Like, we should be in the college playoff every year. No, you get what you deserve. You get what your record is. People go, well, Ohio State fans are worse. They're intolerable. They're arrogant. They're over the... Yeah, but they've won national championships in the last, you know, in this century. And they're a dominant program. Again, this is putting aside all the Urban stuff and tattoos with... Trestle. This is putting all the sleaze. This is just strictly on the field stuff. They compete for national titles every year. The defense looks awful this year, and they should probably have more than what, just the Purdue loss. And I even defended their loss last year at Iowa, and it was like they just came off an emotional victory going to Iowa, which is a tough place for anybody to play after an emotional game. These were 18 to 22 year old kids. Emotions affect them and you and I deeply. So I tried to defend it, but people weren't having it. But Ohio State competes for national titles. It's okay, and they win them too. They beat the snot out of Oregon a couple of years ago when I was all in on... Was that Kelly's team, or was he gone then? Marcus Mariota's last year there? No, I think Chip Kelly was gone. It was Mark Helfrich. I thought Oregon was going to just score with Ohio State, and Ohio State ran them off the field. Ohio State competes for championships and wins them. So I have no problem if you want to be a little arrogant, a little intolerant. It's kind of like, you know, and this is just my literal brain. You see people on at college football games or wherever, and they're like, we're number one, we're not. No, you're actually number 13. Like, it's great that you're beating number eight right now, but you're not number one at all. So I'm more root against Michigan than root for Ohio State. But again, you are allowed to be a little arrogant, be filled with some hubris, be over the top, be obnoxious if you win. It's like, you know, Red Sox fans. I always used to say before 2004, I would rather deal with 100 Yankee fans than one Red Sox fan, because it was a lot of entitlement there too, and they hadn't won anything in forever. But at least Yankee fans had won like 20-some World Series. You can be obnoxious and intolerable when you've won that much. When you're just good and you haven't? No, no, you got to win. So I hope Ohio State can pull this thing out over the weekend. But maybe that means that no Big Ten team winds up in the playoff, depending on how things shake out. And this is where I don't follow things as closely as I did 3 or 4 years ago. Like, I 3 or 4 years ago, I could tell you, okay, if Ohio State wins, but just barely, this is what happens. Or if Ohio State routes Michigan, then they're in. But. Yeah, I can't do that anymore. So go Ohio State for this weekend. That's me outlining how I go about rooting. And beyond that, I don't know if there's really any rooting interests right now. Like, I hope there's a good Monday night football game tonight, and it should be between Los Angeles and Kansas City. Is there anything else? We talked about it on the podcast on Saturday. Did anybody, and I didn't see any, and I follow the Downtown Toledo Twitter account, and I'm guessing, is that Cindy Kerr? Cindy, do we have a beef? I've sent you a couple of emails, and you don't reply. That hurts me. And now that I'm leaving downtown, let's fix this up. Like, let's work on this. But I didn't see anybody get engaged at One Seascape, nor at the tree lighting over the weekend. And again, it would be up to the Downtown Toledo account to let me know that. What's going on? I would have expected that would have been a big deal. Anything else? Do we have anything else to get to? Socks. Funky socks. If I buy, whoever's on my holiday shopping list this year, I think I'm going to do my best to get you funky socks. In when we were younger, or in the past, you don't want clothes, right? You wanted gift cards or tech or electronics. But now, I saw an article on the Blade News slide yesterday, and the St. Ursula girl socks were featured, and other people, other things were written about. Funky socks is a way to go. So you might get socks from me. Thanks for listening. I don't know what the podcast schedule is going to be. Might track down Jordan Tuesday night. We'll see how this goes. Obviously, it's a short week. There's Thanksgiving. I have a lot more painting to do and a little bit less help. I got backed up. I was supposed to close Friday. My dad got backed up with the snow because they got pounded out east and he couldn't get out here. So I had a lot of people lined up to help on Saturday. And we could have conceivably finished everything Saturday and Sunday. Instead, I'm backed up and have less help. So podcast schedule might be off a little bit. Make sure you listen. Q105 weeknights, 7 to midnight.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.